listening to The Terrific Teacherpreneur, a podcast for teachers looking to grow a successful online business. Your host, Alex, was able to transform her Teachers Pay Teachers store from a small side hustle into a profitable full-time business. She now helps other teachers do the same. Listen along for actionable tips and helpful wisdom about business and marketing as a teacherpreneur. Here's your host, Alex.
Hello and welcome to the Terrific Teacherpreneur podcast. I'm your host, Alex, and today I have a guest on the show. I'm going to be chatting to Aubrey Malik, and she and I are going to be chatting about short form video content. So things like Instagram reels and TikToks and stuff. So let's get started.
Welcome to the podcast, Aubrey. I'm so glad that you were able to join us. I would love it if you could introduce yourself to my audience. So tell us a little bit about you and your business and your story, because we'd love to hear about you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. So in my former life, I was an elementary teacher. I like to say like my former life, it wasn't that long ago. I've been in my business now full-time for 3.5 years, but it just feels like so long ago. So yeah, I was an elementary teacher. I'm a wife and a mom, and really was just looking for a way, you know, when I was in my teaching job, I love what I did as a teacher. I love my students. You know, I left teaching prior to all this craziness and the pandemic. So I can't really speak to that, but I just really wanted something that allowed me a little bit more flexibility. At the time, I had a son and I was pregnant, and I just wanted to be at home with them or just have the ability to plan out or how our days were going to look. And if I needed to leave for a doctor's appointment for my son, like I didn't want to have to ask anybody if that was okay. And I just figured while they were young, like during this time, it would be a really great time to just be at home with them. And I also knew, like, even though that sounded really great, like in reality, I had to bring in an income. Like we counted on my teaching income, even though like teachers don't make a ton of money. That was something that we were definitely counting on in our family's budget. And so had tried a couple different things to make money from home and just had that consistent income, and nothing was really doing it for me until I heard about freelancing. And I was like, okay, this sounds different. It sounds like something that could work. And so started my business as a freelancer, just supporting business owners, kind of just as a virtual assistant, jack of all trades. And within my first month, I made $800. And I was like, okay, this is it. Like we're onto something here. And so set a goal from the time that I started my business until I was due with my second son was 2 months. And so I was like, okay, if I can prove to myself that like 2 months in a row that I can be bringing in this income while I'm like working full time on top of that, that I can actually, you know, do this if I took it full time. So that's what happened. I had my second son. I didn't go back to the classroom, and I've been doing that ever since. But I've recently, in the past year and a half, added on the coaching aspect of it because that's who I am deep down, being a teacher. And so I've just kind of shifted the way that that looks. Instead of teaching kids in the classroom, I'm teaching other women online how to start their own business and just how to have more freedom, and really just I'm on a mission to really change what it looks like to be a working mom for moms who want to work and have that, but also want to have the flexibility to raise their family the way that feels aligned with them. So that's how I got to where I am today and a little bit of my backstory.
Oh, that's awesome. I would love it if you could share a little bit about how you're going. Like, how do you cope with running a business? It sounds like a very complex business. And being a parent, do you find that really difficult?
You know, there's different seasons of it. So like I had shared too, like when I was first getting my business up and running, I was in the last couple of months of my pregnancy, and then I had a newborn and I had a 2-year-old. And so that season was definitely harder than I feel like it is now. Now we've gotten into the swing of things, but then, you know, a few years into my business, throw in a pandemic and everybody's at home, and I'm used to having like my time in my office when like everybody's napping, and then my husband's coming in. He's like, hey, I've got it, you know. So it's definitely, there's ebbs and flows to it. I don't think that there's ever been a time where I'm like, you know, everything is perfect and in harmony. Like there's definitely different seasons. Like right now I'm in a season where gearing up for a launch in my business. I'm relaunching one of my courses. And so that has required a little bit more time on my end than I am used to. So it is definitely a challenge. It takes a lot of planning, a lot of prep work, a lot of communication, a lot of times like communicating with my husband, like letting him know, like this week, I was like, this is, you know, we're leading up to launch week. I'm going to need some extra time in the office. Like I'm going to need your support and help in this. So just really communicating that and setting those boundaries and saying, like, when I'm in my office and I'm working, like, I am dedicated and focused on that, so that when I do shut down and close out my office, I can go down and, like, be mom and be focused and be present during that. So it's just about being intentional and setting those boundaries, but it's never perfect. And even if, like, it's everything seems like you could plan it all out and you have that great schedule, like, something's always going to come up. And I think that's just something I kind of learned from being a teacher too. Like, you can have the best planned lesson and then, like, somebody gets, like, a bloody nose and, you know, you have to, like, scramble together and figure out how you're going to make this work because you had these perfect groups set out. So I think being a teacher has kind of prepared me for being a business owner and a parent at the same time too. But yeah, it definitely has its challenges for sure.
Yeah. I have so many listeners that are trying to juggle full-time teaching and parenting or full-time TBT and parenting. And I think it's so nice to hear the guests on my show that can share their wisdom or just kind of, like, resonate with them. You know, like, this, I struggle with this too. Yeah, I can't talk about that. I don't have kids right now. I mean, I hope to, but right now I don't. So it's always nice to hear experience of those who are going through that season of life. So thank you for sharing that.
Right.
I would love to chat about social media. So on the podcast, I've talked about Instagram loads of times, but I've never talked about TikTok. So I was hoping that we could have a quick chat about that and you could share some tips about TikTok and how you've made yours so thriving. So let's talk about TikTok for a second.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it was about a year ago for me, and I, you know, I have my Instagram. I was doing the whole Instagram thing. That was pretty much my main focus, but it felt a little stagnant for me. You know, they were rolling out with Reels, but it really wasn't picking up. And I just felt like it was a lot of the same group of people, and I really wasn't growing my audience and just getting that traction that I would want to get. You know, I think it was kind of at that point where Instagram was like, takes a lot to grow the following too. So had been on TikTok, like, just from a consumer aspect of it, you know, downloaded it when the pandemic hit because I was killing time and, you know, wanted a laugh when I was at home by myself. And I loved being on it. I loved the idea of it. I was entertained. Like, I was learning things on this app and I'm like, okay, I need to switch up my marketing a little bit. And I'm a person who is willing to try different things out to see and not put a ton of pressure on myself either. Like, I didn't go into TikTok thinking, okay, this has to convert or this has to lead to X amount of leads or whatever it is or sales for me. I just wanted to go in it and have fun because I was having fun just watching the app. And I'm like, I got to get in on this. Like, I just felt like my marketing needed a little pick me up, really. So just went into it and kind of just told myself, you know, I'll give it 30 days and see what happens and see, you know, what I can learn and what I can pick up. And I think that time period of me just being on the app and just watching what other people were doing and seeing what was working well and what was trending and different ways that people were presenting information kind of gave me a little bit of almost a leg up because I was like, okay, I kind of got the swing of this. I wish I wouldn't have waited so long because I think that that's something that a lot of people can do. Like, they can see it and they can think like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this when I feel ready, like when the timing feels right. And then we put it off and put it off because we're just scared to take that leap. But once I went into it, I kind of just took all those things that I was seeing and put my own twist and spin on it and really was just taking a lot of the content that I had already been producing because I have a podcast and produce weekly episodes. So kind of taking that content already that I had and breaking it down into smaller bite-sized pieces. Cause in TikTok, I think at the time, I don't even know if I could post 60-second videos. I know now they've introduced like 10-minute videos. So it was really those like super short form videos. So thinking, how can I take like one piece of this thing and maybe break it up into a series of videos. And so just really started posting and started getting comfortable with it and learning new things and pushing myself outside my comfort zone. And I think it was on like day 28 of my 30-day experiment here. And I was like, okay, you know, I gave it my all, nothing's really happening. And like day 28 or 29, it's like I had my first mini viral video that I think had maybe 50,000 views on it. I'm like, okay, TikTok, something's going on here. And so just kind of kept going with it. Cause I think the best part about it was I was really having fun with it. I was having fun and even just seeing myself push myself outside of my comfort zone. Cause I think on Instagram, I was a little bit more reserved just because like I had transferred my personal Instagram to my business Instagram. So people on there now following me are like people from high school and people who like know me in my quote unquote real life. And TikTok was a place for me to just meet all types of people, brand new people, and just really let myself shine and have a ton of fun. So that's kind of how I got started into it.
Yeah. So could you tell us, like, if you don't mind sharing, is there anything like any kind of wins you had, or like big follower growth, or like viral things that you want to share, like, oh, I did this and it did this many views, or I did this and I got this many followers, like any kind of, just because it might inspire some of my listeners, that would be really cool. Or how long it took you to grow on your, on that platform. And then, yeah, if you want to share any tips, like, oh, I tried this and it worked, or I tried this and it didn't.
Yeah. So I started in February of 2021. So a little bit over a year ago, and I was very consistent with it. I would say if that's something that, if you're thinking about getting started on TikTok, my biggest piece of advice is going to be consistency. That app really wants to see you showing up. And for me, this was showing up at least 3 times a day. And I would batch some videos so that I had some stuff. Like I would take one day and record a handful of videos that I would be able to drip out over the next couple of days. So I didn't always have to feel like every single day I had come up with things. But then I think also the really nice thing about TikTok is it's a little less curated than Instagram is. So a lot of times thinking about TikTok, especially like when you get on camera, because you don't always have to do like the trending sounds or the dancing videos, but getting on TikTok and almost viewing it as like you would your stories, like it's a little bit more personalized and it's a little less curated and a little bit more off the cuff. And really now TikTok is really prioritizing that original type content. So really thinking about, you know, what you're sharing maybe on your stories as far as quick wins or hacks or little tips, and then just doing that over there. So I would say I had steady growth over, I would say like six months, was starting to pick up some growth. But I would say really when everything kind of went, I would say my most viral for me was in October, which is actually really, it's kind of like the craziest thing that happened. So in September, my husband and I, we lost his father, and I kind of took a break from TikTok because I'm like, I just need to like deal with this, grieve this. And it was like my first time, like my first day back of actually posting videos. I had been seeing this dance that's on there. And I will say, you don't have to dance at all. That's something that is a little bit fun for me. Not all of my videos are dancing, but I do like, that's just something that I enjoy doing. I'm not a great dancer by any means. There are some amazing dancers on there, but it's just, again, a way for me to have fun. And so I was seeing this dance on there. And so I did the dance, and then the video wasn't really about the dance. It was more about the text that I put on there. And it was really talking about how I had started my business. And when I had started my business, my goal was only to make $1,000 each month to pay for my student loans. And then I was like, I didn't realize all these other things would happen, and sharing those wins. And that video went viral. I would say in less than 24 hours, I had 1 million views. Right now, I think like the total lifetime of it is like 4.5 million views. But from there, that was like my first big jump in follower growth. I think at the time I had like 60, 70,000 followers on there, and I jumped up to like well over 100,000. And then really kind of saw that like steady increase of followers. And so now I'm right around 290,000 followers. I would say like followers aren't everything. I would say people not throw away followers on TikTok, but it's a lot easier to gain a follower on TikTok than it is on Instagram. I feel like on Instagram, people like, they protect that with their whole life. They're like, I'm not going to follow anybody unless like I'm a diehard fan. So people will follow you on TikTok a little bit more. And so it's not everything, but it definitely has helped to kind of build that credibility. It was nice that it didn't happen for me like right when I first started. It was nice that I had that steady growth, because I think the good thing about that is that when I did receive that big influx of followers, I had already been creating tons of content consistently for 8 months. So people were able to come to my page, and because the content was so niche down on what I was talking about, and it was so consistent and so regular, and it was really answering those questions that a lot of those people had when they first came to my page, they wanted to stay. They wanted to like go back and watch all those videos. And then they're like, okay, I love what she's doing here. What else does she have for me? And then they were able to take those next couple of steps with me. So I'll stop right there, because I know I threw a lot at you right there.
That's okay. I love what you were saying at the end. I think I did an Instagram post about that, or a story months ago, where I was saying it's okay to speak to an empty room. And I was saying how when you first start on Instagram, people are so desperate to get like a huge amount of followers, and they want to grow on these platforms really quickly. But really, it's not such a bad thing to spend your first few weeks and months like finding your feet and like setting yourself up and playing around with what works and like failing and doing terrible first tries. And then by the time you start getting those followers, like you've got a great page, you've got great content, like people are going to want to follow you, and you're ready, like you're emotionally ready as well to deal with that demand of new followers and stuff. And really, you wouldn't want to have like 10,000 followers thrown at you in your first week, because the content you create and all that, like you just wouldn't have the systems in place. Like, so it's not a bad thing. I think it's nice that you had that quite a few months where you were gradual before things took off, and you're happy that it worked out that way. And that's awesome.
Yeah. And I think too, you mentioned like that I was like emotionally ready for that too. It's really interesting because that's one thing that I would say if there's like a downfall with TikTok, there's some cruelty in there. And when that video went viral is when the first time I really experienced some of that quote unquote hate in the comment section. And I mean, lucky for me, like it wasn't like my first video and I can laugh at myself. You know, some people were like poking at my dance moves or whatever. Like I don't take myself too seriously anyways, but I was thinking about kids who are like younger, who really have this dream. For me too, like, yes, it was the reason why I did it was obviously to market and grow my business too. But it also for me was helpful just to like break out of my shell a little bit more. Like I am a little bit more extroverted and I definitely do feel a little bit more confident in certain situations, but this was something that was brand new for me. And it was me pushing myself outside of my comfort zone. And of course, sometimes like I would post a video and I'd watch it back and I would question it. Or when I was first getting started, I re-record a video a bunch of times because I'm like, no, this isn't perfect. And I think because it did take that long for me to grow that following and to then, you know, finally have that viral video, when I did see those comments, it didn't sting as bad. But then I think about all these younger kids who are doing it and like lucky for me, like I am, you know, pretty confident in my skin and I do have a good support system. And I just think about some of the other people who are like putting themselves out there and they're, if they're met with that, that's the one thing I would say does, you know, it's the downfall of TikTok is people are, you know, they get behind their phones and they type away on those comments. So that is definitely something, like you said, like being, I was emotionally ready for it. Like I could laugh those things off. It's not really like, it says more about them than it does say about me.
It's like in your first, say, month that that happened or your first ever video, it might put you off being on the platform, but you were at a point where you're like, no, I've done like hundreds of videos now. I feel so confident. So it's like, yeah, sometimes it's better to grow at a more gradual pace and not to grow really, really quickly. Yeah, I like that. So I have a question for you. Do you feel strongly that short form video content is like the future? It's the way to go. We all need to kind of jump on this bandwagon because not just TikTok, but Instagram Reels, Reels are starting to show up on Facebook. There's just been a bit of a change and a shift, I feel, in marketing. Do you think that, like my list and stuff, we need to be jumping onto this bandwagon because it's the future? Or do you think it's okay to not do it? Like, what do you think?
When it comes to influencer marketing, there's a podcast that covers it all that you will want to add to your playlist. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. They talk about influencer marketing, social media, the creator economy, social commerce, and much, much more. They cover all aspects, including the creator economy, social commerce, the latest trends, the metaverse, TikTok trends, and that's just the beginning. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. Add the podcast to your playlist right now.
I do think that video is the future, as hard as that is for people. And so I think getting started in a way that you can kind of build that confidence, because even for me now, like there are some things where it's like, it's not as easy to like post things. And I know for some people, even like getting on stories seems really overwhelming, but I think and it's an interesting thing because we do have a lot of these people who built these really big followings on Instagram on these very like curated feeds and things like that. And now they're trying to make the shift to TikTok and it's harder for them to grow because when you show up on video, you do have to be authentic. But the fact of the matter is like, that's what people crave. And that's what I hear time and time again from people in my audience is because I don't try to show up and like put on this front or try to be perfect all the time. Like I will mess up my words and people really want that. Like people are going on that app because they want to feel like a part of something and they want to see themselves in someone else. And for so long too, I wanted to not talk about the fact that I like left my teaching job because I was like, well, what are the teachers going to say about me? And I think that was a part that actually allowed more people, even from both sides of the coin, like teachers who were still in the classroom and then teachers who had wanted to leave or were thinking about leaving or just wanted something different. It allowed them to relate to me. So I think definitely even just getting comfortable, like if you can start on stories, like you don't have to jump right into Reels or you don't have to, you know, create this crazy schedule for yourself, but really just getting comfortable talking to the camera. Because I feel like that's really going to be the differentiating factor when people are looking to invest their money in somebody is who do I relate to? Who do I feel like I can see myself in or have that commonality with them. And I think there's only so far that you can go with a photo. That video allows you to really make that connection through the screen, because, you know, people who I've met online, like I've never met them in real life. And sometimes you do feel, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we've never met, but I feel this closeness to them. And I feel like I relate to them. And that's from being able to see them, you know, in the online space through video.
Yeah. I think that's the truth of it. At first I thought all that shift to the short form video was just like, we find it entertaining and we like, you know, quick videos. We've got short attention spans and stuff. But I think you're right. I think it's about authenticity. I think stories were the big thing that started it. And people were like, yes, I could see this curated, perfect little photo of your classroom or you and all your makeup and stuff on, but I can't really relate to that. But when you're in stories and you're like talking about your struggles as a teacher or talking about your struggles as a business owner or talking about your favorite TV show, whatever, people can start to bond with you. And that leads to that know, like, trust factor, which we all know leads to sales. So clearly it's about the connection. And I think that if you're listening and you really, really just can't face the idea of showing your face like on these platforms, you know, you don't have to. I don't think we have to. You could be on Pinterest or blogging, whatever. But if you're open to the idea, I think it is the future. And I do agree. I think we all need to kind of just embrace what's happening and accept that that's what's going to happen and acknowledge that it might be a really positive thing for your sales, because you could build all these connections and relationships that get people to trust you enough to buy from you. And some people are really looking for that. They just, like, a lot of my listeners are really brand new to TPT, really struggling to make sales, and using Instagram and TikTok and building their own following might be something that really helps them. So definitely agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
My last question, I was going to sort of just say, could you share some tips in terms of how to show up consistently and talk a bit more about like the batching and the thing you were talking about with the recording videos in advance? Because it's all good and well if my listeners are like, okay, yeah, I'm going to like start doing it. But like, they need that system. I think we all need strategy. We can't just say we're going to start TikTok or say we're going to do reels. We need to have a system. We need to have a plan. So it'd be great if you could share a little bit about the batching things you do and all that kind of stuff. That would be awesome.
Yeah. I don't want to say like it's an afterthought, but really it doesn't start with TikTok. For me, it really starts with my long form content. And I think that that's something that anybody who wants to have a successful business has, at least in some capacity. You know, that could be like just a blog post a month. It doesn't necessarily have to be like starting a whole podcast. But for me, it starts with that. And then it really, from there, it's able to be, okay, how can I break that apart and pull different pieces out of that? How could I turn this into a different video? I think one of the really great things about TikTok that I learned over the time is that you can recreate a video and have the same information and maybe switch up the format, switch up the sound, switch up how you present it. Maybe the first time you were doing it to like music and you were pointing, the next time like you try it and you do like a talking video. And so really, like, a lot of the videos that I have are just recreations of something that I've done, because I'm consistent on that app. A lot of times those videos get pushed down as I record stuff, and not everybody scrolls through and not everybody sees my video. So even people who are following me, not everybody is going to see that video that I make. So if I recreate it a couple of weeks later in a different format, or maybe I do it very similarly, not everybody's going to see that and they're not going to remember. So I think that that's one thing that was really helpful for me, is it's not reinventing the wheel every single time. And it's not always coming up with a new idea. It's taking maybe something that did well or had really great results, and how can I recreate that? Or maybe something that didn't land the way that I wanted it to, but the information was really good, how could I maybe present it in a different way? So that's something that's been really helpful for me as thinking about like creating all this content, and how do I do that to recreate that stuff too. But like I said, having that long form content and being able to pull pieces from that is really helpful, especially with short form video. Like, you don't have to give it all away. Like, it is a bite-sized piece. So it's not like I have to give everything that I would put in a blog post or everything that I would put in a podcast episode. You know, if I had a podcast episode on like the 5 tips to do this, this, and this, I don't have to give all 5 tips in one video. Like, I can create a series and say, like, this is a part of a series where I'm going to be sharing my 5 tips. Here's my first tip. And then comment the, you know, what you want to see next or something like that. Really getting the audience involved. And a lot of times for me, there will be times where I'm like, gosh, I like don't know what to post or what to create or what to think. I just go to like my comments and I'm like, what are the questions people are asking me? Like, what are those consistent questions? And I just pull from them, because instead of me trying to think like, what do they want? Like, why not just go to like, what are they actually asking me for, and give them that? But I would say, if you're thinking about getting started on TikTok, one thing that was really helpful for me, and you know, there's different schools of thought on this, but like when I got on that platform, I'm like, I am very niche. I know exactly who I'm speaking to. I know what type of content is going to solve their problem, going to entertain them, going to inspire them. And that's what I'm going to post. And now as I'm growing, like I am growing my brand and it's not just super, super niche, but I think that that did help me because people were able to come to my page and be like, oh my gosh, yes. Like this is the person I want to follow because this is exactly what she teaches on. This is what I want to learn. Or people would come to me and be like, nah, no, not for me. And for me as a business owner, like, I don't want to be in that. I don't know if she can help me. I don't know if this is for me. I want to be in that, you know, black and white space too. So having those content pillars, having those things that you know you can consistently pull from. And I just kind of like to create, like if I'm really struggling, like create those three buckets and be like, how could I educate my ideal client? How could I entertain them? So different things like that are funny to like my niche or funny to like that they would relate to. And then how can I inspire them? So that's like sharing those wins and sharing the things that I've overcome and like my backstory and things. And so kind of having those three buckets and then starting to like just jot down, like just brainstorm different ideas and then just start testing them too. Like you never know what's going to land. Honestly, that dancing video that went viral, the video that you spend all this time, you're like, this is the one, this is going to go far. It doesn't. And then the one that you're like, yeah, here we go. Like, let's just throw this up. Like that's the one that takes off too. So just experiment with it, just have fun with it. And I think that's a really great thing. Even like, I know that Instagram does have reels, but I feel like it's a completely different feel than TikTok. Like you can put something out there and like, you don't have to put all this pressure. Like don't put that pressure on yourself. This has to go viral because if it doesn't, like great, recreate it next week and try something different. Those are just some tips that have really helped me to create. And then, like I said, too, kind of planning out like a day where, and I don't do my makeup every single day. And even when I record videos, like I don't, but I know in the beginning that was something that I needed to like do for myself just to like feel a little bit more confident showing up on that app. So I would do that. I would do my makeup and then I would have three different shirts and I would like record, have my sounds that I was going to record to or have my ideas and I would record them and then switch my shirt and do it again. And then I would, like I said, I would have those, I wouldn't post them all in one day. I would have them to drip out over the next couple of days and then I would do it again. So I really wasn't filming TikToks every single day. It was more like 2-3 days for like hour chunks. And that really helped me to stay consistent with it as opposed to waking up every single day and thinking, gosh, what am I going to post today? So having that content bank of ideas, listening to what your followers are asking for, like listening to those comments, those reoccurring things, like you will start to notice a pattern. That was really helpful for me. And then like batching out, like doing those chunks. And especially too, like when you're in the zone of recording, it's easy to like stay in that zone and to stay high energy and to stay focused and get a lot done as opposed to like opening up your phone and being like, okay, maybe I could record that and then recording it and then trying to find like another idea, like coming to recording ready to go, especially in the beginning. Now, like I said, it's a little bit more, it's easier for me. It's a little bit more off the cuff. I kind of know what I want to post and I just have that fluidity about it. But in the beginning, that's what really helped me to stay consistent.
Yeah, I think you've given some really, really good tips. I definitely think I like what you said about having a niche and really knowing who you're talking to, having the content like pillars, those buckets of how can I entertain, like looking to see what they are struggling with. And like, you know, for teachers, there are so many teacher Facebook groups and Instagrams that you can see what people are asking, what they're struggling with. So knowing your ideal client and finding what their pain points are and then like solving those problems and educating and inspiring. I love it. You've given so many good tips. And I definitely agree with the batching. I 100% do that. I sit there with like a pile of t-shirts and then like recording and then just like switch outfits. That's the best thing for me because I feel like I don't have the energy to make myself look glamorous like every single day. I don't have like perfectly straightened hair. I sometimes just don't feel motion. You're like, I want to sit there and do all that. So I do batching and I probably do more for like a week or a few weeks probably versus your few days because I don't post as much as you do. But both like are better than doing it every day. I hate that feeling of like, what should I post today? I've always hated that.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, the difference too, even like between TikTok and Instagram, I know like with a lot of times, like on Instagram, you'll have like the hook on the reel. And then it's a lot of people will do like see the caption. The interesting thing about TikTok is you don't have that same type of caption space that you do on Instagram. So it's really about like, how can I put things on the screen that's really going to draw people in and really want to keep them watching as opposed to like having this really thought out caption, which for me was super helpful because I didn't feel like even after recording this reel, like I could type out this long drawn out caption to like really keep people engaged in it. So it was helpful for me. And again, like I said, I don't want to say it's like throwaway content, but it's like, you don't have to feel this pressure on yourself to have it be perfect. Just get it out there, start where you feel comfortable, and then work up from there. And like I said, I was doing like 3 videos a day. Like, you don't have to do that. It's more about being consistent. So if that's just 1 video a day, like, start there. You can always grow, but don't like set out and say, I'm going to record 10 videos a day and do that for a few days. And then realize like, oh my gosh, this is way too hard for me. And then you ghost the platform for the next month. Do what works for you and stay consistent with it.
And I like what you said earlier. I kind of feel like we should reiterate that, that if people feel like they don't feel comfortable like dancing and stuff, there are so many options of short form content. I do a lot of it's just like talking to the camera or pointing to things. I did a reel the other day where I was saying, if you want to do a reel, you don't have to dance or point or like change outfits or whatever. You can just share value or like share your TPT products. There are endless options. So I feel like we just need to kind of get over that hurdle, I think, of feeling like I don't want to dance. Like, that's not, you don't have to, basically.
Yeah.
I feel like you've shared so many great tips. I would love it if you could let my audience know a little bit about where they can find you, like, you know, what your handles are on TikTok and Instagram or anything, like website names or podcasts, anything where they can find you, because I feel like any of my listeners that are sellers might just want to be inspired by what you're doing on TikTok and stuff, give them some ideas about how they can grow in that way. And then I think I probably have a few listeners as well that might be considering freelancing and would love to learn from you in that area too. So share where we can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's something that I'm finding. And even in my own business, I think it's definitely important not to have all of your eggs in one basket. I'm definitely not trying to take on too much at one time, but as you maybe starting to get the hang of TPT, adding in a different income stream, because obviously with TPT, like, there's ebbs and flows to that. Like, we know usually like those summer months, those dip down. And then obviously you have a big back to school season and then wintertime. And I know for a lot of TPT sellers, like, that can be really anxiety ridden for them to be like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do? So that's why I think like adding on freelancing, even if it's just like, you know, 1 or 2 clients a month that can help you. I think one of the things with TPT sellers, like, at first you're doing it all, right? Like, you are the marketer, you're doing all the admin, you're doing all the creative stuff. So you have like a lot of skills in all these areas, and thinking about the one area that you really excel in that could really help another business owner that maybe they don't excel in that too. So yeah. So come hang out with me, of course, on TikTok. The nice thing, I tried to keep it pretty consistent across all the platforms. It's my name, Aubrey Malik, and that's my website, aubreymalik.com. And then if you're interested in freelancing and just kind of want to get an idea of like what's it entailed and do I even have any skills and how would I even get started, I have a completely free training I would love to share. It's a video training, and I think it's really, like, of course, video, like, that's my thing, right? So video training, it just kind of gives you those ins and outs, and that can be found at aubreymalik.com/TTP. So that's where you can find me and how you can learn more. And I would love to have you come over to Instagram. I am still on Instagram. I love Instagram DMs. So send me a DM. Let me know what inspired you about this podcast episode. Tag us both in your stories. We would love to know that you're listening. And I would love to just connect with you that way too.
Yeah. I'm excited now to go and do a bit more of like a stalk on your TikTok now. I want to see this viral video because I haven't seen that. And I'm like, I'm dying to know what, like, what your dancing's like.
I'll go pin it to the top so that you can see, and just don't laugh at my dance moves. My parents wanted to see it after, like I said, it within the first day it hit like 1 million views. And my parents were like, we've got to see what this. And I'm like, no, you can't watch this. But I don't even know if my husband's seen it yet. So, you know, it's so easy for me to think about my internet people, like, seeing it. Like, I love posting content out there for them, but it's like for my real life people, I'm like, still, oh, don't watch me.
I'm the same. Every now and then my husband would be looking at my shoulder and see my phone. He's like, oh, it's you. It's a video of you. Can I watch it? I'm like, no, go away. Like, totally okay with some random woman in Ohio, like watching me or whatever. But like my own husband, I'm like, no.
Exactly.
It's not just me. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was so nice to chat about TikTok because I don't know a single thing about it. And it's nice for my audience to learn something that I can't share and have a guest come on and share their wisdom. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. Definitely check out Aubrey on all of her awesome marketing platforms. And be sure to follow along with both Aubrey and I on Instagram. So on Instagram, I'm at Terrific Selling Tactics. So you can see some of the reels and stuff I've done. And I'm not like a pro or anything by any means, but I have attempted some. So definitely be sure to check them out. I hope that you have a terrific day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Terrific Teacherpreneur. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Come back for more actionable tips and helpful wisdom in the next episode with your host, Alex. Until then.